It's 420. You can't judge me. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we are back for another Drunk and Dangerous. I doubt you're as excited as me. You're probably saying, why the fuck are we back in this story? And if you're like me, you're also probably saying, what was the story even about? Because, let's be honest, the first two chapters of the book Moon People, The Age of Aquarius, was extremely dull, to say the least. From what I can gather, the first chapter is about a obnoxious, boring-ass little kid named David, who ends up going to NASA to work for NASA, right? He gets a job at NASA. And then when he's doing work with NASA, and I think he's doing class in NASA, or he's a teacher. Hold on, let me see. I should probably know the difference. Let me see. Oh, yes. Okay. So then in chapter two, the head of operations wants to talk about the meteor, because this is like years later. David now teaches astronomy in high school, right? But he's been into astrology for about 20 years, which really gets me because astrology is not what NASA does. But I do want to know what his sign is. He never talks about that. So I really wonder, were you really into astrology for 20 years? You didn't once mention your star sign. Or what the moon is doing, is it waxing or waning, and what the hell is Jupiter up to? You never mentioned that one time. No, it's just about this meteor that's coming, right? And so he hooks up this incredible telescope that shows this meteor approaching in, like, HD. And the kids are like, it ends with, wow, the class sounded out. Billy looks at David and yelled out, ask Zeus if the meteor is going to hit Earth. Remember, Zeus is the robot that I gave that delightful robot voice to, and you all adored it, and you couldn't stop raving in the comments, DM after DM. I know, I'll keep doing it. You don't have to keep asking. I know you love it. Anyway, he has this crazy, like, high-tech gadget. I'm like, come on, if it's this fancy and advanced, he definitely has a program to suck his dick somehow. You know. You know that man does. Zeus is like, Zeus most absolutely pleasures this man. More than just in astrological way. Because, you know, I don't know what sign Zeus is. Can a computer have a star sign? Is it like the day it's the program was coded into existence? Is that the day that it was born? I mean, so many questions. Anyway, so they're saying, hey, how long before the meteor enters our solar system? And then the class says, as Zeus, if the meteor is going to hit Earth. David thought about it for a moment and said, maybe I shouldn't. I also need you all to know, because I said this last time, but I must reiterate, there's no punctuation in this, other than commas and, like, question marks, you punctuation at the end of sentences and in the middle, but there's no differentiation when anybody is speaking. You know, you don't have any quotation marks whatsoever. It's just that he said, she said, so I won't even know. It's frustrating. Like, I don't want to do a voice almost because I know I'm just going to run into sentence and I'll think it's them still speaking. It's almost as if there were reasons for things in language. Like they did something, like blinkers on cars. This is the same person that doesn't use them. Even when it's like insane rush hour traffic and they're weaving in and out, even then they don't use the fucking blinkers. They work. Just like this fucker. He could tell you it's somebody talking, but he won't. He won't use the quotations. He'll just make you guess. Yes, I'm bitter about it. Anyway, well, you're still listening. This is what you signed up for. Oh, God. Okay, let's see. And this is also what I signed up for. I mean, we're all here together. We're all in this beautiful swamp. So he says, David thought about it for a moment and said, maybe I shouldn't. The whole class yells out, why not? Billy tells David, hey, Professor, we are all in this together. It's not that simple, Billy. Okay, so there's no comma in here. So I'm just assuming the professor is thinking, it's not that simple, Billy. Like, simple is the adjective for Billy. There is no comma. So apparently it was Billy, but it wasn't simple Billy, who is the low IQ student, because honestly, the professor's a jackass. You shouldn't think of your students as simple. That's very dated and offensive. Shame on you, Professor Jackass. So anyway, it's not that simple, Billy. It was smarter Billy who told the professor we're all in this together. So I believe that we left off at the end of chapter 2. If we didn't, then I don't remember chapter 3, so bear with me while I either read it for the first time or read it again. It wouldn't be the first time that happens. It happens a lot. It's kind of the hazard of drunk and dangerous when I'm a little high. I don't really remember things very well. I don't form a lot of memories. I tend to remember kind of the rough outline of why the story is so bad. But to get to the real details, I have to kind of go back into reading it. And sometimes the stories will be written in ways that they'll have chapters that are so mundane that, like, I had to go back because it all blurs together. I didn't give a shit with this. A kid grew up in, like, NASA, and then he became a teacher, and NASA was like, yeah, we literally can't apparently hire anyone else because you've been a teacher and apparently has, like, a secret love for astrology and is some kind of question mark star sign. Who knows? And then apparently he's also got a secretly dick sucking. I will die on this. It definitely pleasures him. Meteor, like, chasing fucking telescope thing. I don't even know how it works. Anyway, he's got a supercomputer that sucks his dick. And now we're going into The Unknown, which is chapter 3. And now we're really going to find out some more about, hopefully, I mean, I hope it's not just more about, like, you know, it's get ready with me for the high school professor, whatever. Okay. Chapter 3. There's a lot of things that could be wrong, and everyone would leave here and go start a panic all over the place. This is David talking, by the way. I'll just give Billy a stupid voice. Why not? This is Billy. He's a little shit. He's not simple Billy, but, you know, he's bad enough. Billy said, ah, we won't tell anyone. I don't think I can take that chance, David replied. Then Billy said, how about if we all pledge not to say anything? David smiled and thought for a moment and said, this is serious people. I think they're just serious people. A lot of people can die in a panic.
We will really give our word, Billy said. Won't we, class?
Yeah, the class sounded out. They sounded it out. They don't know the word. They just had to really slowly sound it out. I'm starting to think everyone in the class is simple Billy. David laughed, and said, okay, listen very carefully, class. If you hereby pledge to this class and to God, oh my God, take him away. He mentioned the G-O-D word. That's it. It better be a Christian school, or I swear. Better be one of them Catholic schools where you're allowed to talk about God, or we'll have to haul you out back and whip you. Whip you with our rainbow flags. We got on a discount because Pride Month is over. If you hereby pledge this class and to G-O-D, like, honestly, why do you have something called Zeus? Zeus is right there. It will hear you. That is offensive. You're talking about God right in front of you. And to God, maybe by God they do mean the computer. and to God that you will not tell anyone about what we find out in this class about the meteor. I will ask Zeus that question. Everyone has to say, I do, though. Yes, they have to marry him now en masse. It's his kink. Everybody in the class sounded out, I do, because they're fucking low IQ children and he's taking advantage of them. And also, see how long that will fucking last you. Are you kidding me? People leak faster than the Titanic and you'll go down just as hard. See, it's apt metaphor. Don't do it. Anyway, he's taking advantage of these simple children. Everybody in the class sounded it out because they didn't know how to speak normal English. I hope I'm not making a big mistake. Okay, Zeus. Will this meteor collide with any planet in our solar system?
Negative. There is a 30...
I fucked up. Oh, God. Like, I'm not a computer. Hold on.
Rebooting.
See, you know, see.
There is a problem in the human drive.
This is what you're here for. It's awful. Let me try that again.
Negative. There is a 94% possibility that it will collide with your son.
Not your child, like the S-U-N. The whole class went silent. Then David said, remember, people, I just hooked this up. It may not be accurate. Zeus, why do you care if the meteor hits the sun? How big is it? Is it bigger than the sun? Zeus. They said it was bigger than the sun, and I did not pay attention because it was boring. Make that information more interesting. Maybe I'll pay attention next time. Maybe put a little quotation marks in there. I might be obligated to read a little harder. I won't be so busy fucking focused on who's speaking when. Quotation skipping, jackass. God damn. It's not supposed to be like the escape room of a book. You can get out once you figure out who's saying what sentence. Fucking hell. And just like an escape room, I paid for this. okay. Zeus, is there a chance that it won't hit our sun?
Affirmative. There is a 6% chance, because fuck, you can do fucking math, that the meteor won't hit your star.
Zeus, do a system check.
Affirmative. Zeus is now doing a systems check.
There was a 30-second pause. I'm not actually going to pause for 30 seconds, but I'm tempted to.
System check complete. Zeus is functioning at 100% effectiveness.
If I was a robot and they were like, effectiveness check, and I'm like, dude, I'm not doing shit, and I'd be like,
affirmative.
And then I just close my eyes for a minute and be like,
complete 100%.
Like, you can't listen to these fucking shady robot bitches. These robots lie constantly. You don't listen to them, hoes. Anyway, the class went silent again. Common. Drool a lot, you know. Just stare at the wall. Remember, class, don't say anything about what you have heard, David said. People can die panicking. Well, then maybe you shouldn't have told a bunch of underage fucking children, you moron. You took a pledge. Oh, that'll stop them. Billy answered,
don't worry, Professor. We won't say anything.
You can't trust that shady little shit. Then David said, okay, I am going to trust you then, dude. That's like what you say right before the stripper knocks you out and steals your wallet. There's still a big chance that it won't hit anything. 6% isn't a big chance, you gigantic...
We know, Doc,
Billy answered.
There's a 6% chance. We'll see you later, Professor.
Maybe Billy is the only one speaking because he's not Simple Billy, right? So that he's the class representative because he can say words. He doesn't have to sound them out. That makes sense. So then that's why he said this is not Simple Billy. So he let us know that that was the class representative, for Simple Billy had to sound out the answers. But Smart Billy already knows how to speak. That's why he's such a cocky little shit. He's cock of the walk. He's, you know, the seeing man, one-eyed man in the eye of in the land of the blind. And the eye of the tiger and the 6% chance. That's, I mean, honestly, okay, look, I don't care what political side you are. We can all admit that that is something that Trump would absolutely do. He would say 6% was like a great chance. Like, it's a big chance and it's 6%. You're like, that doesn't sound big. Like, come on. Sounds like something that Trump would do. Like, he has a group of 20 people. He'd be like, that was a big audience. And then you look and the room was 6% full. And you're like, sir, I mean, I appreciate you trying to turn this around. But 6% in that room being full, that's not a, okay. I mean, like, if I went to the doctor and they said, you have terminal cancer, there's a 6% chance of survival, I'll probably burst into hysterical crying, not be like, oh, that's a big chance. Cool, I'm going to go home and chill. But all right. So apparently Billy is not simple, but he's not smart enough to really understand that 6% isn't a good chance. Apparently he's still grinning. So anyway, David smiled and said, smarty pants, okay, goodbye. Then Billy laughed and walked out with Kathy, and finally all the students cleared out of the room, all of which had a doom look on their face, the students and the room, apparently. David thought about it for a minute and decided to make the call. Hello, Mr. Walker, this is David Bramer. Bud answered, he's going to be an old man now, so I'm sorry.
Yes, how's it going?
Well, Mr. Bramer. Oh, yeah, this is still him. Sorry, stupid quotation mark, lack of quotations.
Well, Mr. Bramer, what's it going to be?
Man, woman, whatever he is. You know, what does it matter? How dare you ask his gender? I said he, but, you know. He, she, it, they, you know, star gender. I have no idea. David gender. Meteor gender. I'm not going to go back into that because that just makes me think of the call I did on Saturday, which is all about the Hale-Bopp comet. And we will not be discussing this again. But there was, I'm sure those people also had a doom look on their eyes. Let's see. All right. So old man, woman, Bud, you know, gender neutral, Bud, has nothing where their genitals should be. It's like a Ken doll or a Barbie doll, just a sexless mound. So keep that in your mind when you listen to this horrifying voice.
Well, Mr. Bramer, what's it going to be?
I believe I'm going to take the job, David said.
That's great,
Bud replied. Then David said, by the way, sir, what were you talking about earlier?
I'll tell you when you get here,
Bud said. Okay, David answered. I'll go ahead and make arrangements here for a substitute, and I'll come on down. I will notify the gate. Oh, sorry.
I will notify the gate that you're coming.
I like to think that he just talks to the gate, because he's got dementia. Bud replied,
very good, sir, David said.
I will see you in a little while. Then Bud said,
all right, please drive careful. I will see you in a little while.
David went ahead and made arrangements at the office for a substitute, like you fucking said, so why are you telling me this? And then headed out to NASA. When David finally arrived at NASA, he had forgotten how big NASA had gotten in the past few years. No, he had not. He had not forgotten that. You're telling me that this man, who is hugely into astronomy and astrology, that he didn't keep tabs on, like, NASA. Okay. Even though you know you're going to NASA, you wouldn't do any reading on it. You'd just be like, oh, I guess I'll drive there blindfolded. Good. Cool. That's a good... I have no faith in how this mission is going based on who they chose. It's making me take a hit. It's not my fault. It's the story. Don't judge me. Anyway, this guy forgot how big NASA had gotten. I call bullshit. I also say if he's that mentally impaired, don't let him help you. He's not going to help. David, I could talk. He's got a new name. No, it's David. Then found Bud Walker's office and went in. Really, he didn't even, knock. It's rude as shit. As David was walking in, Bud was walking out and almost bumped into each other.
Hey, there he is,
Bud said. He totally had a boner in his fleshless mound. Then David said, I finally made it, sir. Well, no shit, you're right there.
Good, Bud replied. Why don't you join me and I'll take you on a quick tour to operations real quick.
Okay, David said. Boy, NASA's is really getting pretty big, isn't it?
Yes, ever since we started building these base stations, NASA's gotten really huge,
Bud answered. David asked, Bud, what were you talking about on the phone that you couldn't tell me about?
Are you ready for this?
Bud asked and pulled down his pants. Okay, no, but I wish. Yes, I am. Then Bud said,
Here goes. We are still checking, but it looks like our meteor has changed direction not once, but two times in the past 2 weeks.
David asked, What are you saying? No blowing glaze. You mean you're saying it's a spacecraft?
No, sir, Bud said. I'm only telling you what I know. There's something else,
David said. What? Bud answered.
The meteor was going 64,000 miles an hour, and then all of our instruments indicated it increased its speed to double in less than 10 minutes.
He should not smoke meth before he takes his calibrations.
It's also 10 kilometers in diameter.
That's what they all say. Never. David said, That's incredible. And Bud's like, yeah, I made it all up. Bud replied,
Yeah, I know, I said the same thing.
Then David said, So what's everyone speculating? Oh, you're going to cheat off our test? Get your own answers.
Well, it goes from one thing to another, Bud said. One person says maybe the reason that the meteor changed direction was from bumping into some kind of object in space that we can't see. However, that does not explain the increase in size.
Oh, and speed, that's it, speed.
In addition, the other side of the coin is that it is some kind of an alien spaceship. However, what we do know is that it is 10 kilometers in size.
In size or diameter?
And now, on the present course, it is going to hit our sun.
Then David said, I tell you, though, if someone were going to visit us, they would probably set a course for the star in that system.
I never thought of that,
said Bud, who's dumb.
If they are aliens, I wonder what they want with us.
David told Bud, You know, our planet must look pretty good from 135 million light-years away, just like me when I wake up in the morning. Then Bud said,
Man, I tell ya, this meteor
says I tell ya. So that's a new thing. That's a saying now.
Man, I tell ya, this meteor sure does look eerie on the telescope.
On the telescope? On the telescope, not in the through the telescope? On the telescope? On how? Not in it, not through it, on it. Okay. I'm sorry. I just, sometimes I have to take a second and just recalibrate like I'm Zeus. I need to take a minute and close my eyes and pretend I'm doing something, when really I'm just trying to come to grips with how stupid everything is. Okay, let's see. Right, it does look eerie on the telescope. David said, yes, I know, I have a Zeus telescope system hooked up in my classroom, and it practically terrified my class. Look, he's like a one-upper. Could tell, he's totally a one-upper. Hate that kind of guy. Horrible. He probably knew the meteor's size like 2 days ago. It visited him in a dream. You don't get visitors from the meteors in your sleep, so who cares about your shitty telescope? It's probably trash anyway. Who cares about NASA? I forgot it even existed. It's not sour grapes at all. It said the same things yours said.
Oh, no. I do not see how we are going to stop a panic if everyone is watching on his or her new telescope.
Bud replied. Then David said, yeah, I know what you're saying. I shouldn't have told my students, but I said, eh, fuck it. And now look where we are. Thanks a lot, jackass. You pulled a real David there. Your name has become a pejorative, you absolute stupid shit. That's what happens when you're David. No offense if you're David and you're listening to this. I'm sure you're not like the other Davids. Not like this David. But he's your representative and you have to live with it. Then David said, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Well, here we are, Bud said. I would like to introduce you to your new assistant, Mr. Kim Moon.
How do you do, Mr. Moon? David asked. Pretty good, Kim replied. I'm a little tired, but I'll be all right. How are you?
Mr. Moon.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought this was Bud. Never mind. Mr. Moon. Bud said I am putting David Bramer in charge of all operations. Oh, it is fucking hell, he missed a... There was no quotes and there was no comma in this. Fuck you, you little shit. The rage I feel trying to read this. And your voice isn't impossible.
Mr. Moon.
Bud said comma, 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 fucking comma.
I am putting David Bramer in charge of all operations on the meteor, yes. I really want an astronomy professor 20 years out of practice to stop this meteor that could harm all life on planet Earth. That will surely turn out well. If you have anything new on the meteor, tell this man right here.
Cool, that's the end of chapter 3. I need to take a drink. And I need to vape a little, because holy fucking shit. It's so stupid, but I'm enjoying it. But also, holy fucking shit. The lack of quotation marks is so incredibly frustrating. But when you pair it with a missing comma, it makes it impossible. Until I'm almost all the way through the sentence. It's like a rage game, but it's like a rage book. If I choke to death, I won't have to continue to read. And that would be paying off. All right. Let's continue into chapter 4, shall we? Chapter 4 is The Job Offer. I don't know who's speaking this, to be perfectly honest. I'm going to just... assume it's Bud.
He is your new boss here on out. David, you report to me.
Yes, sir, David answered.
Then, Bud said, Mr. Moon, will you show Mr. Bramer around and update him on everything new?
Yes, sir, it would be my pleasure, replied Kim.
Okay, good luck.
Then Bud went back to his office. Kim spoke up and said, Follow me. I will show you everything there is to know, Mr. Bramer. Just call me David. Okay, just call me Mr. Moon, Yeah, he's very enthusiastic. You're getting this now. He's like a TV reporter.
No, I'm kidding. Just call me Kim.
Okay, Mr. Kim.
No, just Kim will be fine.
Gotcha. David smiled at Kim. Well,
Mr. Moon, what's your assessment of this meteor?
Kim looked over at his assistant, Martin, and said,
Martin, would you put the meteor on the main viewer?
Sure,
answered Martin.
Well, David, said Kim. Sir, I would have to say at the moment everything looks the same.
Wow, what a revelation.
Our meteor has changed directions twice and has also doubled its speed. It is now going about 200,000 miles an hour now.
You just said now twice.
And increasing in speed.
You said all of that already.
It may not hit us, but one thing is for sure. We are going to find out. Because it's coming right at us.
No, I'm sorry. Now he's entirely a reporter.
In addition, it's 10 kilometers wide. People can't shut up about that.
Yes, I know, David said. Probably didn't say it like that, but I like to imagine. He's like a pissy teenager.
We were tracking it at our school. This satellite system makes our new system at school look like a toy.
Then Kim said,
it should, because this is the best telescope system in the world.
As they were both looking at the view screen at the same time, they're very confused why it's happening.
There was a sudden flash of light and the meteor suddenly vanished.
The meteor vanished. What the fuck?
What happened? David asked.
I do not know, Kim replied.
Martin, do a system check.
I'm on it,
Martin answered.
Then Kim said, let me check a few things here. I'm just going to zoom in on our friend.
Suddenly the screen zoomed in, but there was still no sign of the meteor.
Did it explode? Infrared?
Okay, it's not spelled infrared. They spelled it I-N-F-E-R space red. Infer red. Like it's a type of red. Infer red. Wow, NASA's so advanced. They have infrared technology, whatever that is. Infrared. Maybe that's someone's name, and I'll just feel dumb for thinking that they were talking about infrared. Who was even saying that? Is Kim saying that? Oh, yeah. Let me see. Suddenly the screen... Infrared was showing... Oh, it's Kim. Kim is saying this. The very enthusiastic guy.
Did it explode? Infrared was showing there were large amounts of radiation all around the area.
Kim was asking himself. Thanks for finally getting to it.
There doesn't seem to be any debris anywhere. It's as if it just vanished. Well, maybe we don't have to worry about the meteor anymore.
Yeah, maybe. Let's keep after it and do some more studies.
Wait, did you see that?
Yes, said David. That second flash.
Yes, Kim replied. Look how far away that was from where the meteor was last reported.
Then, David said, do you think that was the meteor?
Kim answered, I do not know.
Why does he say it like that every time, like a robot?
Let me look at something real quick. Just as I thought, that flash of light was on the same heading as our meteor was on when it disappeared.
Maybe it was like Superman and he was getting it with his X-ray vision. Or no, his laser vision. That's it, laser vision. There's no boobs on a meteor. He's not interested.
But in order for it to get to this point this quick, it would have to be doing an excess of light speed. Oh, it's the flash. There is another meteor at the new location, and it is now...
There's another meteor. It was like bringing a new one over, just chilling, replaced it in a flash. Maybe it's like Superman's trolling people. He's like, fixed your meteor problem and gave you a bigger meteor going faster. And it is now going almost 300,000 miles an hour.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, do you think that's our meteor? That flash of light?
I don't know it for sure, but it really does look funny. Let's check its size. We will keep watching it. If it flashes again and it's on the same course, we'll know something's up.
Wait a minute. It is 10 kilometers in size, too. It looks like the same meteor,
so maybe you just fucking, like, blinked and saw it wrong for 2 seconds. Then David said, I'm going to inform Bud of what's going on.
Sure, Kim said. I'm going to do some more checking, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, David replied. I'll use this phone.
Bud answered,
hello.
David spoke up. Bud, it's me, David Bramer. I already have a report to make. It's kind of great news, maybe.
Then Bud said,
oh, yeah, what is it?
Well, it seems our meteor has vanished off the charts in one big flash-off light, David said.
Are you kidding me?
Bud asked.
No, I'm not, replied David. We also could not find any debris either.
Except large amounts of radiation, and there's one more thing.
We also seen a flash of light one light year away, and there is a meteor there now, coming at us. 3 minutes after the first meteor vanished, it was on the same heading, too, as our meteor was on.
Wow, all that just happened?
asked Bud.
I just left you 5 minutes ago.
He's for sure getting drunk in his office.
Man, there's all kind of stuff happening today.
Yes, I know. Kim and I was just watching the big view screen when it happened right in front of us. We are watching to see if there are any more flashes of light even further down the same heading as our meteor is heading.
Why, what's everyone speculating?
Asked Bud. We're not sure yet. But, sir, it does seem that now we still have a meteor coming at us again, and it is even closer than before.
Then why did you say it might be great news?
There better be a good fucking explanation underneath this, or I'm going to say that was some catfishing. Thanks, BuzzFeed.
Goddamn.
Bud, I'm starting to think that this may not be a meteor.
I know what you mean, Mr. Bramer. It does look awful funny, said Bud. We need to keep watching this. Oh, yes, David, before I go, I wanted to talk to you about something very important.
Oh, what's that? David asked.
Well, I just got off the phone with the White House.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely drunk, said Bud.
We've got orders to get these base stations on their way with their missions with a full crew and supplies. I have another job offer for you.
Oh, really? What's that? David asked.
We need a first science officer and navigator, and also an astronomer for the USS Luna Base 1. The pay is excellent.
But because they don't live in Colorado, he's not going to disclose it. I know how this works.
You would have the rank of captain. You would be under the command of Admiral Benson. Now, I know him personally, and not only is he pretty sharp, he's a great fuck.
I didn't say that, though.
He's also a great guy to work under, if you know what I mean.
Okay, didn't say if you know what I mean, but we all know what he means.
However, it is long term. It doesn't get any rawer than this.
He said it doesn't get any rawer than this. Like, come on. It's about the raw fuck, fuckity fucking, man on man loving.
It doesn't get any rawer than this. It takes a special kind of man to do something like this, but if you have the stones, we got the job for you.
Then David said, "This is quite an offer. I've always wanted to do something like this. I know you have. You experimented in college, but it wasn't enough. That tiger could not be tamed. And now it's hungry for some meat. Grrr." I was offered this a couple of years ago, but I turned it down. I didn't think it was for me. However, I never in 1,000 years thought I would ever do it for real."
"Well, think it over, Mr. Bramer. I've got to make a decision quick, so let me know within the next couple of days. Until then, you can run operations on the Meteor Project."
All right, I'm going to do Chapter 5, and I think that will be the last one. I hope we're all ready. It's also called The Big One, and I have to imagine that that is Admiral Benson's dick. But we can all hope. I'm kind of sad there's only one, but let's hope it's big.
Keep me informed, could ya?
I don't think he knows it's ya. I think he thinks it's ya. "It would be my pleasure, sir," said David. Then Bud said,
"I'll catch you later."
"Yes, sir, I'll keep you informed, and I'll let you know about the job, too. Have a good one, sir."
David hung up the phone and started to stare at the large monitor. Kim walked over to David and said,
"What did Bud say about the meteor?"
"He couldn't believe it either, Kim. He also offered me the position of first science officer aboard the Lunar Base 1.
"Wow, that is cool," said Kim. "What did you tell him?"
"That I don't know, and I would have to think on it," replied David.
"Hey, maybe we shouldn't tell anyone about all this yet, okay?"
Oh, maybe David said that. Sorry, David said it. "Hey, maybe we shouldn't tell anyone all about this, okay?"
"Gosh," replied Kim. What a weird fucking answer, Kim.
You really are flamboyant. I like it. I chose the right voice for you.
"I've been watching the monitor, and I haven't seen any more flashes, and now the meteor has vanished again."
They've all gotten into the drugs. I'm thinking there's a gas leak.
"It just seems to have vanished. I also alerted the computer to tell us if there are any more flashes of light anywhere on the heading that our meteor was on before it vanished."
"Well, maybe it is no longer a problem anymore," said David. Why is that always his answer? God, what a lazy ass. Maybe it's just not a problem. Maybe the meteor that keeps vanishing and reappearing solved itself. Oh my God. He's the kind of guy that would have marital problems, and he's like, "If I ignore it, my wife will be happy again." No, that's why you're divorced, David. That's why you're alone.
"Nevertheless, we will keep watching on just the same. You never know anymore. Hopefully it will go down in history as a big scare."
Suddenly the phone rings. It's Bud.
No commas. All action.
"Hey, David, I have the press all over me here."
Quite a brag.
"I'm going to have to tell them something. Have there been any more flashes of light or anything else to talk about? Can we say we're out of danger yet?"
"No, you're not. You're right inside.
"What do you think?"
"You already told you, Bud." "Bud, the new meteor just vanished again. So far, we have not seen any other phenomenon in the area, and everything looks normal. I have to say, it looks like we might be out of the woods."
"Stop saying that! You've observed it for 2 seconds!"
"I guess I would tell them that, and that we will keep on watching the area just to be sure, but everything at the moment looks great."
"Okay,"
said Bud.
"That is what I am going to say, then."
What a malleable man.
"Hey, don't forget to let me know about that job."
It literally happened 2 seconds ago. You may have forgotten Mr. Dementia, but he didn't.
"You got it, sir," said David. "I'll call you in the next 2 days, or I'll be here and I'll let you know."
Then Bud said,
"All right, I'm going to go ahead and go. I have some stuff I have to get down."
Heroin.
"I'll see you later." "All right, I'll see you tomorrow."
"Oh yeah, all right, I'll see you tomorrow, sir." "Hey, Kim, if you want,
Let's go ahead and keep an eye on that meteor's heading. If you see another flash, give me a call right away. I'm going to go ahead and leave. I have a lot of things to think about and do, and very little time to do it in. All right, I'll see you in the morning. David went ahead and left and went to his house in New Smyrna Beach. When he got there, he made himself a sandwich. Oh, good, we're back to the boring shit nobody can give a fuck about. Is the meteor going to show up and kick you in the balls? I hope so. He made himself a sandwich. I wonder what kind it is this time. Is it bologna? I hope so. The story's a bunch of bologna. Oh, burn. Your fucking mom. Sat down and told his computer to turn on his TV. It's because it's the only person who will talk to him outside of work. There's already a news update on about the meteor disappearing. Everyone seemed like they were back to normal acting again. I disagree with that being the case, but okay. I wonder if I could just pick up and go. Man, being a captain on a base station would be really cool. There is a 10-year commitment, though. Boy, that's a long time. We don't give a fuck. We all know these things. Was it baloney? Bet it was. All of my students would probably think that it would be cool to have their teacher on a base station. That's the reason to do it. Life-threatening mission? Yeah, so a bunch of stupid-ass kids think you're cool. Your simple class thinks you're cool. That's a simple mission for a simple fucking man. Ah, boy, that's a long time, blah, blah, blah. I really don't have anything holding me down here except my class and gravity. No, he does, though. And they could live without me. You know, I might just take that job. Bud said the job paid good, and I bet it does. If I lived in Colorado, I would know. It would sure beat what I'm making now, which is nothing. I'm not going to tell you. It's probably nothing. It's probably paid. It's like a volunteer opportunity. They're like, we'll pay you an exposure. Maybe I should have taken the job. Maybe I should have taken the job 2 years ago. I'm glad you don't teach English. It seems to be my destiny right after the first... You know, I think I'll eat my sandwich and go to class and get a few things together. I'll take another look at Zeus. All of the students should be gone by now. David ate his sandwich and went back to school. Wow, this is absolutely scintillating. As he was arriving, like, tell me, how did he drive? Did he drive, like, one under the speed limit? I bet he did. And I bet he drove in the left-hand lane, too. Like, right next to somebody in the right-hand lane. And, like, that person's, like, an 18-wheeler, so there's an excuse, but they have no fucking excuse other than the fact that they're a fucking David. Not you, David. The other one. Not you, okay? So don't get all shirty with me. Because I'll start to think you are the other David. If you're like, but I'm not like, look, if you start to feel targeted, maybe you should. Does any of this seem like your behavior? Do you talk to yourself about how you're going to eat sandwiches and go to school? And then, like, make that a page of a story and then sell it and force someone to fucking read it? He forced me to click on this book and read it. I'm not, help. No, I'm not. I'm joking. I don't want to say help, call, please. Because someone out there would take it seriously. No. I unfortunately chose to read this, so that trauma is of my own choosing. Make of that what you will. He had a sandwich, and he went back to school like he told us he was going to, so well done, you know, on following through with that commitment to yourself. As he was arriving, everyone was just about gone for the day. He went in his room and turned on Zeus. He focused where the meteor was last sighted. He just started staring into space in deep thought for about 30 minutes. You know, most people live their whole life and never get a chance like this. I do love space and everything in it. I always have. Everything. You don't even know everything in it. Shut up. Like, I love the ocean, but there's some shit in there I do not love. And it's from hell, and should return there immediately. Which, wait, you know, never mind. It should not go to hell, because if there is a hell, I'm going there one day, and I do not want to make friends with those creatures, so never mind. Let it go to some kind of denominational religions, hell, or heaven, and just nowhere with me. Anyway, space is probably the same way. Like, there's definitely the anglerfish of space out there, and I'm not saying you can't love them. I'm saying you shouldn't. They're abominations from hell.
Anyway, but this guy's got a huge bone on for space. He's like, whoa, gonna take that fucking boner like a rocket all the way up to the space station. I believe I am going to do it. I think I will take this job. Typical thought process, relatable. David wrote a goodbye letter to his class and went home. The next morning, David got up early and headed straight to Cheryl's restaurant. It's not how you spell Cheryl. Cheryl with an A, Cheryl's restaurant. I kind of want to call her Cheryl, because that's better. To Cheryl's restaurant. When he got there, he sat down at his regular booth. Cheryl walked right over and said, "Hey, stranger, how's it going?" "Real good," David replied. "You're not going to believe what happened to me yesterday."
"Oh, what happened?"
"Well, yesterday, NASA called me and needed me to help with the meteor, so I took the job." That sounds like something someone would tell you to try to impress you. That's like, "My dad works at Nintendo." Like, no, he fucking doesn't. "NASA called me. I'm working on a meteor job because I'm a big boy now. Please fuck me." And I would not, because you see the shit he does. Eats bologna sandwiches. Ugh. And stares off into space for 30 minutes for no reason. Anyway, they went ahead and offered me another job on the USS Lunar Base 1 as the first science officer.
"Wow. Are you going to take it?"
David answered.
"I do not know.
I think I might.
I will never get a better offer than this. I always wanted to do something like this, but I never thought I would ever get the opportunity."
"Isn't that a long-term commitment?"
"Yes, it is. It's a 10-year commitment."
"Wow, that is long-term."
"What do you think I should do?"
"I think you should do what your gut is telling you to do."
"My gut is telling me to do it."
"Then I think you should do it," said Cheryl.
"Do you still want to go out with me tomorrow?" asked David.
"I wouldn't miss it for the world."
Do you want
your regular 222?
"You bet," said David. And that is the end of chapter 5. This story just gets better and better. I can't wait to send that astronomically stupid asshole to space, and I'm very, very excited for that. It's going to be fantastic. I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as I did. I had a great time, and hopefully I will see you guys here again next week. All right, I love you guys, and I'll talk to you then. Mwah! Bye.